Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to New Life Live. Zach Matchett here, filling in for Steve Arterburn. If you're hanging out with us today, wherever you're at, thanks for joining us. I'm glad to be here. I'm with Jim Burns. Hi, Jim. Good to see you.
Zach, good to be with you. This is my first time with you. I'm excited
I
to be
know.
With you. And you just
I
said,
really
what's
am.
Up? I mean, like, you're cool. You're
yeah,
cool.
You're, yeah,
cooler than,
cool.
you're cooler than Steve. I'm just telling you that right now.
That might be the most untrue thing that's said on the radio today, unfortunately. And Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi,
Hello.
Jill.
Hello, Zach and Jim.
Glad to be with
yes.
all of you.
Yes.
Yeah. Since Jim and I are here, and both of us have kind of, in our field of work, and Jill's too, but dedicated to our life specifically, Jim and I working with families that have teenagers and doing student ministry for a number of years, I wanted to kind of start our program off today by speaking to people that maybe have a teenager in their life, whether they're a parent figure, a grandparent, they are helping raise a teenager of any kind. I heard this years ago, and Jim, I'll throw it to you just to let you respond because I have a feeling you're going to agree with this. But teenagers are drawn to the oldest person in the room who take them seriously.
Oh, Zach, I totally believe that.
Yeah, any environment you go into, like so if you're a church environment or in a school environment, classroom, small group, like who's going to be taking what I am personally going through seriously? Because what I think happens is, as adults, we kind of dismiss the problems of the teenage years and go, oh, man, you think you're busy now, or, oh, you think things are hard now, and you kind of engage in those pleasantries, and yet that's the hardest thing they've gone through up to this point in their life, or that's the thing on the front of their mind. So why do they have such a good eye, Jim, and a good discerning ear and good antenna for who's going to take me seriously in here?
Well, you know, first of all, you know, crisis is always self-defined. And so they're in, you said it so well, Zach, because they're oftentimes in crisis. We may not think it's crisis, but to them, it is their crisis. But yeah, you know, the kids are drawn to whoever pays attention to them. In fact, I would say that a lot of times it's grandma and grandpa or some of the older people who just, you know, they believe in them. But you know, the scary thing too is that when it comes to, kids and peer pressure, if somebody on a negative side is paying attention to them, well, then they're going to be drawn to them too. So I have a friend who added to that quote that said, whoever pays attention to kids gets their attention. And he was actually talking about gangs. He worked with gangs in city Philadelphia. And he said, hey, you know, I asked these kids, how'd you get in a gang? And well, they started paying attention to me when I was in sixth grade and seventh grade. And, you know, here I am. And now I'm kind of in a mess, but they poured their life into me at that age.
Darius Daniels. Oh, sorry, Jill. Darius Daniels, pastor, says gangs aren't about crime; they're about community. You know, there's that idea that they find that commonality in that and take this seriously. But yeah, Jill, go ahead.
Well, and I think to your earlier point, Zach, that kids want to be taken seriously, right? And so sometimes they do get overly serious about things that we know are not a big deal, but it's very devaluing when we belittle that.
Well, you know, it is. I was talking to a mom the other day. She was talking about her 14-year-old girl who was madly in love, and she goes, well, it's just puppy love. And I said, well, puppy love is real to puppies.
Yeah.
So this is a real deal to her.
Right.
We know that at 14, she's probably not going to marry this guy. She's making some very unwise choices. She doesn't know that in her mind.
Right.
She's going to marry this guy. So we have to take our teenagers seriously.
And what if somebody said to us, oh, you're worried about that job problem? You're going to be retired soon.
Right.
Don't worry about
that's
it.
Right.
We'd
right.
go, what?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Why is it that the dismissiveness in an adult context is excused? You know, we wouldn't like that.
No, but we wouldn't
excused
like it at
all. The way the teenagers. Yeah. And I find that, too, like, if you have a teenager that feel, if they're opening up to you, you just found out that you're a safe person.
Right.
That's the determining factor, is that they think it's worth opening up to you about this. And so, so today, maybe you are the parent of a teenager, and maybe you want to give us a call, and that's something that you need some help with. 1-800-229-3000 is the number. But really, we're just here to be good listeners. We're here to be an encouragement to you. This is why New Life exists. And so I'm excited to be here today with my partners. And so we'll be right back after this break. But again, 1-800-229-3000. We'll be back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks again for joining us today on New Life Live. Zach Matcha here filling in for Steve Arterburn. Jim Burns and Dr. Jill Hubbard are with me. We have a workshop that we have coming up that I want to actually talk to you about before we get to some of our next things, calls. Again, 1-800-229-3000 is the number. The Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming up on October 21st, and maybe you're listening today and you feel like your marriage is on the brink of ending, or you know it's fine, but we need a tune-up, we need a redirect, we need to get focused, we need more intentionality, we need to work through this particular challenge or situation. You know, this is a workshop that New Life puts on that will provide hope and healing for your marriage. And there's actually three levels of intimacy that will be explored. There's spiritual intimacy, there's emotional intimacy, and physical intimacy. And obviously each of those have their challenges, but even as Christians, all those things are all part of the same cloth. It's comprehensive. There's intimacy holistically among all of those things. And so I want to read one testimony from someone that went to this Intimacy and Marriage Workshop real quickly. It says, "I realize now that the intimacy that I've had with my wife was not intimacy at all. It needs to be much, much more. Thank you for the wake-up call that I can restore, not create, the relationship and marriage that God wants for us." And I love that phrasing there of just the idea of a restored marriage. Jill, I don't know if you want to throw anything in there just as a final push or encouragement maybe to people that want to do something like this.
Well, I just wish that all couples would go to this workshop, because I think it is so amazing. And I just am so saddened by how many Christians just resign themselves to be in less than authentic, intimate relationships, right? And it's like, okay, we don't want a divorce. Okay, that's good. But we don't push to have more. And there can be so much more.
And, you know, so many times, I think men especially think of the word intimacy and they only get the physical intimacy thing down.
Yeah,
right.
Intimacy means connection. Who doesn't want to be more connected?
Well, and here's the thing. If you aren't connected to your wife emotionally, the physical is not going to be very good.
Do you know that I said this weekend, I was doing a marriage conference this weekend in Branson, Missouri, and I said emotional intimacy precedes good physical intimacy.
It does.
You know what was interesting? All the women shook their head, and the men kind of looked at me like, what?
So, it's like, if you're not willing to engage with me here, why would I trust you here?
Right. No, exactly.
Right?
And oftentimes, you know, and I'm talking about women because I have three daughters and a wife. Not that I'm the expert on womanhood, but a lot of times a woman needs to have their, you know, kind of their life in order and really connected with their spouse before they can really enjoy that physical intimacy, which is God-given. We forget this. We got weird tapes in our head. You must have people coming into your office, Jill, all the time who have some just weird tapes when it comes to physical intimacy. It's like, you know, their parents said, don't do it. It's dirty, rotten, horrible. Save that dirty, rotten, horrible thing until you're married. And now they're supposed to turn on a dime and they're still struggling.
Absolutely. You don't remove those roadblocks overnight, right? At the same time, we have a lot of other images in our heads.
Yes.
There's a lot of romanticism that some, I find with a lot of women, you know, they get stuck on the Hallmark Channel, and it's like it doesn't always turn out that way.
Well, you're right. And the other issue that we talk about here on this program all the time, and Zach, I'm sure, would agree because he has a youth ministry background, is pornography. I mean, today, the average teenager is a preteen when they see pornography. It's age 11, and it's men and women now. And it's at a different age, and it's a different way of looking at the pornography. But the fact is now, even their idea of physical intimacy is kind of a false intimacy that they've been looking at because they've seen it online. And as parents, that's a concern. I know we get a lot of calls of people who will call here at New Life and at Homeward, where I work. We get lots of stuff on this too, in terms of how do we help our kid when we found them online.
Yeah.
and they're only 7, or they're or they are 11, or they're addicted and they're 13. Mm-hmm. And what I'm finding is there's an increase not just with guys, but the greatest new users of internet pornography is boys 12 to 17. But right behind them are girls.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of, in a sense, they view pornography different than some of the boys. Boys view it. Their mind takes a picture, but the girls are kind of, I mean, almost acting it out. Their name, you know, it is Jill, but they now move it to Lindsay, and they have Lindsay, you know.
Right, their alter egos.
Right, yeah. And so now they're having these conversations that are going
well, it goes
crazy.
Back to what we were saying. It's attention.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. And it's the old cliche that women will give sex in order to get love.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah.
And the opposite with men.
And, you know, I just read a new UCLA study that says 8 to 10 meaningful touches a day for someone to thrive. And so I think there's a lot of kids who mistakenly will crave sex because they think they want touch. And they weren't getting that from home. When kids are littler, it's a lot easier. You hug them, whatever. You get a 13-year-old boy, he doesn't want mommy to, you know, kiss him on the lips in front of all of his friends. Of course, you know what I mean? My little grandson came to me. I was picking him up yesterday. He's 7. And he's like, Papa Jay, Papa Jay. He comes running in. He had no idea. It was killing my back.
Yeah.
But he comes running up in front of everybody. And it was so special and cute. You know, I thought to myself, when he's 13, there is no way that, you know, his bald-headed grandpa, who's going to be there, is going to, you know, get that love.
You just never know.
Right.
Maybe.
It might be even worse. It might be even worse for your back, too, Jay.
Yeah, it will be worse for my back. I'm just telling you. And my dad at that age, he showed me affection by giving me noogies. That's why I think I'm bald, because he'd always on the top of my head.
Oh, yeah.
Rub my head. But, you know, we have to continue to give affection to our kids, even when they're in that stage where they're kind of moody and they really don't want
affection. So I think we have to look at how are we present or not present with our kids.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, we're focused so much on the kids and what they need, but we have to be able to do it in order to teach them, right?
Yes.
We have to be able to be more intimate.
Yeah,
we can't take them where we haven't gone.
No.
And it's that it just starts with just having some eyeball-to-eyeball time.
And what I hear you saying is presence matters. You know, today we're so overcommitted, and sometimes in our overcommitment and busyness, we're underconnected actually with our kids.
Yes.
We think we have eyeball time, but we don't have as much.
No.
And so we have to be it's our job as adults to be proactive in terms of, you know, making that presence. I call it the power of being there. And, and sometimes it's just, you know, I think about my mom. My mom, you know, here she was married to my dad, who was an alcoholic, and, you know, I'm sure they had their issues. We didn't see that much in our family. Mm-hmm. They were just kind of living two separate lives, if you would. But my mom, she never missed a baseball game. She would knit during practice. I would be embarrassed that my mom's there in the stands knitting. What could I say? But you know what?
Multitasking.
Yeah, exactly. But I now look back at that as incredible safety. You know, Zach earlier said kids need a safe place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important for us to go, are we safe to our kids? Or if we're just only nagging and we're only being negative to them, we're not being safe then, because we're not allowing them to explore who they are. You know, teenage years are the experimental years. And I would even say it's into young adulthood now, what they call emerging adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, it's important for us to be a safe place. But it's really hard because, you know, then we have to listen, and listening is the language of love. And, you know, I used to always say to my wife, you know, why does she need to go to Europe to find herself? I have all the answers right here. Just tell her to come into the living room. I'll fix her right now. But, you know, didn't happen that way.
Right.
It's all a search for intimacy too, isn't it? I mean, even in just all these different examples we've mentioned, whether it be trying to find connection through pornography that you know doesn't deliver what it promises, which you think is going to bring connection. You think about you mentioned earlier about the sexual relationship and just the types of intimacy that this Intimacy and Marriage Workshop will cover. You know, biblically speaking, when Jesus quotes in Matthew 19, when he talks from Genesis 1 and 2, that "and the two shall become one flesh," that is not just simply a sexual union. That is a holistic, a comprehensive human union. And therefore, it's almost impossible to say, I'll give my body to you, but I'm keeping my finances to myself.
Right.
Or I'm willing to open myself to you, you know, physically through the sexual union, but you have no right to see what I'm typing in my smartphone or through my text message. And that's almost like that doesn't make any sense. It's almost a faux intimacy. And then even with just this example that you mentioned of a teenager reaching out for conversation and trying to connect with somebody, whether it's through, you know, a dating relationship they might be very, very infatuated with, or trying to reach out to a parent or somebody that's a bad influence, it's all a search for intimacy. We want to be known. We want to be loved. And if someone feels safe enough to open up to, that's a good indicator. But Jim, as you said, it could be the wrong influences. But let's think about it on the positive. If somebody is reaching out for that connection, that is an indication that I have to be present in this moment to listen, because they have taken a huge risk from their standpoint of actually saying this. Tom Shevchunas, who's a student ministry expert, says the church, he's talking about the church specifically, is only as safe as what someone's brave enough to admit. And you can apply that, I think, to a family environment is only safe enough as what someone's brave enough to admit. The classroom, a small group setting, or whatever, a team. And so if they sense that it's safe, that is starting at least the building blocks of that intimacy. Yeah. Would you agree?
You're right. I do agree, and that's why I'm such a proponent of student ministry, children's ministry, because there's a safe place there. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody who goes to youth group, you know, loves it and has a great experience. But the truth of the matter is we talk about negative peer pressure, but there's positive peer influence, and then there's also some adults who are caring. You know, my experience with, like, say, my daughters, I used to laugh at this because my background is youth ministry, and you know, they would, one time Rebecca said to me, "Dad, all of my friends think you are the coolest." And then I make the mistake and go, "Well, do you think I'm cool?" She goes, "No, you won't let me do this. You won't let me do that." But they found the coolness and the safety with other people who were volunteers in our youth group and our youth pastor and his spouse. Yeah. And so, again, we want to encourage our kids to have those kinds of experiences. And I'm afraid too many parents are so busy that they are going, "You know, we're going to put you on restriction. You can't go to youth group." And you're like, wait. Put them on take their phone away. But put them in a positive environment, like a, you know, like a student ministry.
Well, and they need other adults to care about them besides their parents, right? That's
absolutely.
That's
You know, for us, when Kathy and I realized that our teens were not going to do this easy, because we thought they were. We were cool. We were.
Oh,
ministry,
I know.
But as soon as we thought that, we thought, you know what? We need to bring some other adults around them. And be really proactive about that. We actually had a young woman who was an intern at our church live with us for 2 years. Well, guess who's the most important influence in their life during that season? It wasn't us. It was this incredible woman who was, she was going on to seminary and doing some great stuff, and we love this woman. But we realized that they were moving to a safer spot with her than even with us, and that was okay. Because they were going to be able to, you know, confess some things. You know, they talk about confession being healing, and they'd have these deep conversations. And if we ever came into the room at that point, I'd just see my girls kind of looking
at me
like,
"What are you doing in here?
Get out of here! Out right now!"
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's easy to do. And once that happens, and if teenagers sense that, or any child senses that, I guess my whole point in saying just the safety aspect of it is, I just think for all of us, whatever relationship we have with a child, I know many listening today maybe have kids of their own, grandkids of their own, but even if you don't, if you're an aunt or an uncle or adopted parent or whatever, you could be a parent figure. If you got a kid in their life,
help us parents.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. There is a role for you to play even as a single person. I mean, if you're a family, invite singles to have dinner with you. Invite them into your family and let that be a positive influence in life of your kid. You know, we want, at Northview Church, we say, 5 meaningful adult connections for every kid and every student. Yeah. Now, that hopefully includes, you know, a parent figure of some kind, but that could also be a small group leader. That could be a Sunday school teacher. It could be a coach, a teacher, and not bearing the burden of having, yes, we're the primary spiritual influence you may be, you know, to raise your kid, but you need to have supplemental people to do that. And that reinforces this idea of community, which I feel like in the season of life that we're in just here in America, is just, it's so easy to retreat into isolationism and so easy to retreat into loneliness. And we complain about it, but then the moment we long for community and we get it, we hate it.
Yeah.
So it's just this really counterbalancing act to actually go after those things.
Well, And what about when your kids don't want to talk and they push you away?
I think you
need to not be overly intrusive, but lovingly keep inviting them into relationship. I remember when my kid at one point said, "Mom, we're not going to talk about feelings again, are we?" And now, as a young adult, he's like, "Mom, I can't believe how many people won't talk about feelings." Right?
So,
Well, you know, and kids need, with my one daughter, we just had to, I would go out to dinner with her most Tuesdays. My wife teaches a Bible study, and I would drive an hour and a half to her college, and I would always have a list because I had I had things to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes we just talked about snowboarding or her latest crush or whatever it was. And you know what? Mm-hmm. That became a safe place for her to then periodically she'd go, oh, I've got this problem. You know? So sometimes we just have to hold our tongue and it'll come out.
Right.
If you build it, you know, they were talking about the field of dreams. If you build it, they will come. Talking about baseball, but also if you're there, if you're present, they'll come.
And you're interested in them and what they're interested in.
Yeah, it's like putting in two quarters in a piggy bank. Like every conversation, whether it's mindless or random or
love it,
but you do that enough times, you get to make a nice withdrawal if somebody says, "Hey, I'm really struggling with this at school or whatever." And so, good stuff. Great conversation. After the break here, we're going to get to our next couple of calls. So 1-800-229-3000 is the number. We'll be right back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks again for joining us today here on New Life Live. Zach Matchett filling in for Steve Arterburn. Dr. Jill Hubbard and Jim Burns are with me. It was a great discussion. I was like kind of being recorded. It's just like, oh, we're on radio. But no, it's good stuff. And I just think that there's maybe something that you can tag on there. Again, talking about teenagers and talking about intimacy and relationships and how marriages can affect that. And all of it is just another reminder to me that nothing happens in a vacuum. We are holistic beings. It affects our – even that verse, you know, in Christ, we live, move, and have our being. I mean, that is about as holistic as you can possibly be. And so that's what we ought to be as people. But in the negative, it can affect, you know, all of these things. And so we're going to jump to our first call here. We're going to go to Ray. Ray is listening to us on YouTube, actually. You can go to the New Life YouTube channel. She's in Fresno, California. So hello, Ray. Welcome to New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Hey. I was actually calling kind of with a follow-up. Last week I called, it aired yesterday, but last week I called and talked to you and Alice and Becky about addiction relapse. And I was encouraged to reach out to my therapist. We had gotten to the point where we had worked through so much that we were doing like 6 months or 6 weeks, you know, just scheduling out. I have bipolar. Oh. And so, you know, we stay in contact with each other, but a lot of stuff I felt like had been worked through. And so we kind of talked about it last week kind of as relapse and recovery, and Becky and Alice both mentioned the underlying emotion piece, and that's something that I'm not very good at and that I've worked with on my counselor, with my counselor. And so I talked to her today, and one of the things that I figured out between doing a lot of journaling after I talked to you guys was when I went through trauma therapy previously because of sexual trauma, which happened when I was 8. That 8-year-old was kind of running the intimacy in my marriage for 21 years. Hmm. And so it was that child that made those decisions and that had those reactions to those moments. And so I started thinking about that, and I was talking to her about it, and she said, "Who do you think created those rules?" Because I had so many rules that they were almost suffocating about food, and pretty much almost anything could be a relapse, you know, because it's food and you have to eat it. But over time, in like 10 years ago, it was, I'm not going to eat flour and sugar. And then I could do that, but then I would compulsively overeat on other things. And by the time I eliminated all of the things that I was compulsively overeating, I was down to whole foods. But then I was thinking of like getting rid of dairy because I really like yogurt, even if it's just with honey. And
yeah, it's kind of like the constant just back and forth, it sounds like.
And the problem I always say, because I'm part of a recovery program, I always say to everybody that the problem is not the problem. So the problem is not food, but it obviously feels very much like it's food. But we figured out it was probably somewhere between a 6 and a 10-year-old Ray.
Wow.
Made the decisions.
I'm super proud of you, Ray, for doing all this, for going back, and even just your relapse. Jill, were you going to jump in here?
Yeah, and that, Ray, was it that 6-year-old to 8-year-old was trying, or is still trying, to keep you safe? And through the eyes of a child, it's like, what can I do? And so these rules get erected, And the feelings all get displaced into food behaviors, right? And so you have more and more rigid rules to somehow erect something that will keep you safe. The problem is, it doesn't work. There's no way to be safe enough in that structure, right? It doesn't really apply. And so then you find yourself feeling guilty all the time and living in this deprivation.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
so
then,
I think you're on to something really good.
She was talking to me about how I feel about that little Ray.
Yeah.
Like, how do you feel about that little girl who made up all those rules? And I'm like, I really hate her.
Aww.
Like, she messed so many things up for me. And so she started talking to me about compassion. She's like, well, maybe you need to tell that little girl that she wasn't crazy. And then I started, like, feeling like I wanted to cry. I'm like, she's like, what is that you're feeling? And I'm like, it's not, I couldn't come up with a word. And I was like, it feels something like regret, but it wasn't a decision that I made. And she said, it sounds like grief. And I just started bawling.
Wow. And good for you for entering into that moment and being so vulnerable. I mean, that's powerful stuff. That's powerful stuff. I'm sorry to cut you off, Ray. Jim, I want to give you just one thing here. Something that you said, Ray, when you opened it up was, I didn't realize that there was more to go. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize there was more things underneath the thing, and that by these further conversations, you even mentioned journaling. What a great practice to think through and process what it is that you're going through. But Jim, I wanted to hear from you is, to the person that feels like, I think the counseling journey for me is coming to an end, or my therapist and I, we've worked through a lot of those things, but then they relapse or have something, just here in a minute or so, what would you encourage a person to go back to, maybe try again and maybe dig deeper to someone who's resistant? Jim, what would you say to Ray here?
Go ahead, Ray. Yep. I can come
when
back
I
at the break.
Started,
go ahead.
I started counseling 2 years ago, and I've been 56 times now. And the first appointment, I said, listen, I've been to 7 different counselors. As soon as they tell me I'm an emotionally abusive marriage, I leave. As soon as they tell me that I'm codependent, I leave. And I don't want to leave. I want to figure out how to feel, you know, and I stopped giving myself permission to leave counseling when things got uncomfortable.
Good.
Yeah. Good for you. Mm-hmm. This is a journey, man. And good for you for staying on it. This is difficult, heavy lifting. Jim, we'll let you get in here after the break. But Ray, stay on the line. Thanks so much for calling New Life Live. 1-800-229-3000.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the 1-Year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
What's up, everybody? Thanks again for joining us here on New Life Live. So thankful that you're with us today. We've been chatting with Ray. Ray called in just to kind of update us on maybe some direction that last week me and Becky and Alice were on, and encouraged her to maybe revisit the counseling journey. And I was just going to ask Jim, because I want his thoughts on this, about if we sense that a relapse has happened, or we sense like, man, why do I keep having these emotional reactions? I thought I worked through all of that. And then it kind of manifests itself again to the person maybe has been holding off on almost doing it over again. What would you say to that person? No, you got to stay in the game.
Well, I think it's an onion peel. I mean, sometimes you do need to take a breather. You know, it can be intense, but, you know, you just keep going. I mean, that's how life is. You know, the Bible's very clear. Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And, Ray, I want to actually give you the New Life sticker of the day. I do this. I don't think anybody
Jim's
else does
Jim's in charge
this.
Of this.
I'm in charge of the sticker. Because you're getting counsel. I mean, my goodness, you've talked to this person 56 times. You do have issues. And you articulate them so well. That doesn't mean that you're going to all of a sudden get all better and everything's going to be great. What it means is you're going to continue to work on it. It's a journey. You know, I years ago, I was talking with our friend here at New Life, Henry Cloud, and I was telling him, I said, what do you do as a counselor? And he goes, I actually disciple people. And there's times when I disciple them that they sometimes do need to take a break. But amazing how many times they call back and say, hey, let's work on something else. So, Ray, you're doing it right. You get the New Life sticker.
It's setting aside a time to process in the presence of someone else who is there for your use.
Right. Well, you know, I've been in a small group.
And your benefit.
Yeah. You know, every Tuesday I'm in a small group with five of us. We've been in it for 21 years. That's counseling for me too.
Right.
You know, I mean, we're peers, but the truth is I learn something new every time I go
in
there.
It's just a different type of counseling.
Exactly. And so sometimes we need to go in depth and Ray, that's going to be your life because you just got a lot of stuff going on there.
But there's no, I guess I'm trying to say there's no shame in
not
that. There's not this only can go this many times and then I have to stop.
No, exactly. But now you broaden the base.
Thank God for insurance.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, but yeah, now, that too, Ray.
But now Ray broadens the base and, you know, are there other replenishing relationships that she can spend time with to kind of help her through the process? You know, there's an incredible Bible story about Moses who had to have people lift his arms so that the Israelites could win a battle. Well, the battle that Ray is facing, she needs a counselor to help her do that. She needs others. You know, Zach talked earlier about youth ministry. You have five, positive adult influences. Well, that's what we do. And Ray, I think you're doing a great job in the midst of a tough situation. My heart breaks for you, and I think you're doing a good job.
Yeah, think about it. It's like a new pocket that you have to go delve back into. Yeah. And we circle back around at a higher level because of the work that you've done, right? And that's how we learn and grow.
Yay.
So
that's great. Well, Ray, thanks again for updating us. That's right. That's right.
Jill's passing out stickers.
The one last encouragement that I would have for anybody who is listening is that, so my mom called after my counseling appointment to ask how things went because she knew that I made it as, more of an extra struggling moment. And she said, how'd it go? And I said, well, we talked about the little girl and how I hate her. I used a bad word. I didn't use that on air with you. But I said, she's a little...
Yeah.
And my mom corrected that and said, you shouldn't use language like that. And I'm like, I never did until I got into counseling and I started feeling my feelings. But you shouldn't use that kind of language. And you shouldn't, she shoulded me like three times in one sentence. And I said, Mom, you asked how counseling went. That's how it went. And when I was little, my mom wasn't highly emotional overreactor, and my dad had no emotion at all unless he was angry. So as a kid, I was like, I'm not going to be angry. I'm just going to be non-emotional. I'm not going to be like my mom. And so I think it's really important, like the counseling thing, like you were talking about, still going and not giving up on it, is that when we speak to other people in our lives, they're going to correct our feelings. They're going to correct our thoughts in a way that might not even be correct. And if we don't process the things that led us to where we are, then we're going to stay where we are or get worse.
Or we're going to have food addiction relapses.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
That's
right. And then you were talking about discipleship when you're counseling. Steve said when you're counseling, you're discipling, and that's why it's so important to find a Christian counselor, and that's why it's so awesome that you guys have the counseling network and the ability to help people find a good Christian therapist in their area.
Yeah, yeah. So. Ray, thank you again for calling. This is so encouraging to me to know that, here's somebody who's following up, and this actually sets up well because, here at New Life, we have the opportunity to make resources, whether it's this program or other workshops and conferences and resources available to people because of your generous donations. And I actually want to welcome Wayne Olson. Wayne is the Chief Development Officer for New Life, and he's got some things he wants to share with us that kind of pertain to this. So, Wayne, I'm going to hand it over to you.
Zach, thank you, and Jim and Jill, thanks for having me with you today. The one thing in short supply is New Life stickers. I'm on staff here, and I don't have a New Life sticker, and I want to know where
Jim's got
one.
Jim apparently has a big supply.
I will get
away
you
a lot.
One, and Terry, who's the incredible sound engineer here with always the beautiful flower shirts, I'm going to ask him to get us some New Life stickers, and he can do anything. He can even grow long hair because he's beautiful. We need some New Life stickers. We'll send him.
And he has a different Hawaiian shirt for every day of the year.
It's unbelievable. I've never seen him in the same Hawaiian shirt. I've known him for, 25 years. It's crazy. You're paying him too much, Wayne, with New Life, if he can buy all these Hawaiian shirts.
You've been talking today about the sense of community and belonging. And, for a lot of people, this show and New Life Ministries gives them that sense of belonging. And I want to share with you a letter I received, or we received, and I was privileged enough to read, from one of our listeners in Colorado. Hello. When I was going through my divorce 10 years ago, I began listening to your radio program on KRKS Denver. So many people called with similar situations, and still do. I got great counseling and advice to help me over the hump. My monthly donation of $50 is my gift back to you for helping me. May it continue to support your ministry. You are a blessing to listen to. God bless all of you and your work. Love and light. And then she signed the letter. And the good news is we get letters like that all the time, because this is a sense of community. And people, I don't like the term give back, because that implies that it's a one-way transaction or it's a series of one-way transactions. It's really just continuing that sense of community and just being part of something bigger than ourselves. And this particular listener is a member of Club New Life, which I would encourage anyone who has a desire to be a part of something big to join Club New Life and get that same sense of satisfaction and belonging. And we're going to help you do that. When you join Club New Life right now, you will receive a gift from us of the one-year Bible for men or the one-year Bible for women, your choice. They don't come with a New Life sticker, but we're working on that. Terry's on that. Or if you're already a member of Club New Life and you increase your monthly membership by $10, you too can receive your one-year Bible for men or your one-year Bible for women. And it's a great opportunity to feel a part of something, a community that's doing so much for so many people. And it's fortunate that so many people write back to us and tell us how important it really is to them.
No, thanks, Wayne. What a great testimony. And just again, whenever you're making a contribution, you're impacting on the ground, real life transformation, life change, and ministry. So thanks so much for being a part of that. I want to try to get to our next call here. So we're going to go to Tracy next. Tracy's listening to us in Florida. So I'm going to bring Tracy on. Hi, Tracy. Welcome to New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can. What's up?
Okay. All right. My daughter just got married in May, and she is 23. Her husband is 21. And just a few weeks ago, she found out that he had been talking to other women the whole entire time they dated. I have been through it myself. My husband went actually to EMB, and it completely changed our lives. But he is on deployment, so they cannot really even counsel together or do anything right now. And I'm kind of trying to talk to her about it being an addiction. And that was one of my questions. Is that an addiction? Just as far as she knows right now, it was talking, texting, that type of thing for at least a year and a half of their dating, and possibly
so
before that.
Flirting and attention seeking at the very, very least. Is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Right.
So, Tracy, we're going to go to a break here. I want you to stay on the line, but just to address your initial question about is this a type of addictive behavior, it certainly is, or at least the residue of one that may be more significant. The level of accessibility that we now have to get a hold of people is a blessing and a curse. And sometimes right. that accessibility can open us up to emotions and things that maybe we got more than we bargained for, even though we might be searching out initially. And so I want to let Jim and Jill weigh in here when we get back from the break. So, Tracy, thanks for calling in today. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome again to New Life Live. Zach Matchett here, filling in for Steve Arterburn. Dr. Jill Hubbard and Jim Burns are with me. We're on the line with Tracy and sharing about her daughter and her husband and just some issues there. Jill, I want you to jump in here and follow
up. Well, and one thing I'm wondering about now, the daughter, the husband is deployed. Is she in communication yep. with him? Does he know that she knows?
Yes.
This has all come out.
They've been... while he was gone, but they have been able to communicate a little bit. It's kind of sporadic, but
and
somewhat.
Does she have a sense of his attitude in her discovery?
He acted very remorseful, told her that he would do whatever he could, told her he would go to every man's battle when Good. He got back.
And
because he lied about it for like 2 days, denied that it was him. She just now thinks he's, just a liar and maybe, narcissistic and married her for the money.
She's, of course, Tracy, and maybe you can remember when you went through it. She's questioning everything, right? And to learn now that their whole dating relationship, he wasn't being honest with her. Of course she has doubts, and I would be surprised if she didn't, and it would probably be unhealthy if she didn't have these doubts. So it's, this is not a time to make major decisions, but it is a time to really act, and it will be up to what he does. We don't need to diagnose him yet. Let's see if in the discovery, because anybody who's acting out an addiction is going to be a liar, right? Lying is the hallmark of any addiction. So people are like, oh, I can't believe he lied. Well, of course, that goes hand in hand with the addiction. So now what we don't know is the lying so ingrained in his whole life? Is it a characterological problem? I mean, it is an issue with his character, but is it... Right. Towards personality disorder type of level. And so you will see that then in his behavior. It's important for her now to get in a support group, right, of women who, there are all kinds of groups, and maybe you have that for her, to support her so that she is supported and feels strong and can then follow through. And he needs to go, to Every Man's Battle. If it's possible to send him the book for him to be reading that.
Yeah.
And for her to say, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to watch and see your actions because your words have become meaningless.
Yeah. Jim, what would you throw in here?
Well, I agree. She not only needs a support group, but she needs a plan.
Yeah.
And this is the time. Deployment is interesting. And actually, I live quite near Camp Pendleton. And so there's some interaction that I have with people, and I speak down there and whatnot. And I find that deployment is either just disastrous or it can be something really, really good. So if your daughter does the work, then she can actually have a plan for when he comes back and says, look, here's, here's what I'm expecting you to do. And, I see, miracles happen all the time. And frankly, I'm glad, I love this little quote, but I'm glad that, Easter is a season, not just one day, because some miracles take time. So this could happen. And I would even suggest that she go back to, if she didn't do premarital counseling with him, that she go back and maybe get some help on even some of those types of issues. 31% chance, better chance that people, if they have premarital education or premarital counseling, at staying married. That just blows my mind. It's actually a study done by the government. But, she may have to go back and do some of the work that possibly they should have done early. She can find that. She can get the coaching. She can get the – but develop that plan, and then let's see how he does. If he follows the plan – honestly, I've seen people come through Every Man's Battle and many other types of programs like that, and I've seen them get healed, and I've seen the people come together.
And, Tracy, you're saying your husband is one of those people who got the help. And I'm wondering if your husband, her dad – could speak to her and share, you know, what it was like for him to then make that change, what it took.
Yeah.
Right?
And we have a little bit. We have talked with her a little bit. He opened up a little bit about it to her.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, and maybe when her husband comes back, it may be a man-to-man kind of conversation,
right,
saying, hey, look, at here's my situation. You know, I just believe, and I'm sure most of our listeners believe this too, that the river of healthy intimacy, we've been talking about intimacy, the river of healthy intimacy always flows through purity and fidelity. Mm-hmm. And so this man, he's 21 years old. My goodness, he's got to, you know, learn that that's going to be his lifestyle for the rest of his life. And if not, he's going to, you know, crash and burn. He doesn't want to crash and burn.
And
so he needs that teaching.
Right, and good that she's caught it early on.
Right, exactly.
Right, and can make a decision moving forward, hopefully for the better.
And this young man, I mean, he knows discipline now. He didn't learn it. He's now been in the military. Mm-hmm. So he knows some discipline. The discipline, you know, there's pain of regret or the pain of discipline. So he knows the pain of discipline in a good way, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he has regret. He has shame, if that's the story that he's been. So let's hope for the best, and let's help him make the right and wise decision. Now, he needs a plan. She needs a plan, but he really needs a plan,
I think we should
too.
Also send worthy of her trust.
Yeah.
I think that is a good
one.
Yeah,
that'd be great. Right. Tracy, just real quick, because I have one follow-up here, and you mentioned this just about you and your husband's journey, but when your kids go through something, and there's a commonality to your own story, what has this experience brought out in you emotionally?
A lot.
Yeah.
Probably a little bit of flashbacks.
Yeah.
For my husband, I think, sitting there listening to her, he finally really realized the pain I went through.
Mm.
I mean, you know, he knew it, but I could tell, like, he really, really, it hit home. Like, it made a bigger impact on him.
Yeah. I appreciate your honesty.
Yeah, and for him, I mean, in a sense, again, she married her dad, right? Some of that damage was done. Even though he's gotten healing.
And I've tried to tell her, like, he's not an evil, horrible person. He's a broken person.
Yeah.
I want to encourage you, Tracy, and this was kind of and I'm glad that you were very vulnerable. Thank you. That's a real gift to be so honest and understand that it did something in you as well. But I think that that does show that even when those that we love the most go through things, it might tie back into something in us. And so thinking about even whether it's and you may have this, Tracy, but, you know, a group for you or counseling for you, because it's almost like we want to get our kids the help. We want to get them the resources. We want to get that. And then who we end up neglecting is the person who's leading them through the process. And we're feeling those things. And so it's easy to do, and we're all susceptible to it in some way. But maybe just having a greater kind of spiritual antenna, if you will, to sense that what's happening in you and yourself as you process through the emotions of watching your now adult child go through a very similar struggle, that's going to bring up emotions. And you even just said it, flashbacks of things that you've gone through. And I would pay unique, specific attention to what those are and to find outlets to discuss that in a healthy way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. I do know, too, that you guys have a Restore conference coming up.
Yes, November 11th.
That would be great for her. Okay. And if you haven't gone, Tracy, it might even be nice for the two of you to go together. They won't put you in the same process group, but that could be a nice thing for both of you.
That's great. Tracy, you're an awesome mom. Thanks for calling today and talking about this. And Restore's on November 11th, for you know it. Thanks for joining us on New Life Live today. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you.
but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.